Journalism History, a podcast that rips out the pages of your history books to re-examine the stories you thought you knew and the ones you were never told. I'm your host, Terry Finneman, guiding you through our own drafts of history. This episode is sponsored by the Texas Christian University Bob Schieffer College of Communication, where students learn to practice journalism with the persistence, civility, and integrity embodied by legendary CBS News journalist Bob Schieffer. We've created 5 mini-episodes featuring suffrage researchers who spoke at an American Journalism Historians Conference. This is part 5. To learn more about the suffrage movement, a website called suffrageinthemedia.org was created to provide primary source materials, links to essays, and other new historical work, and information about the centennial. In this episode, Brooke Kroger of New York University discusses this website and the effort to reach a broader audience throughout the suffrage anniversary.
Hi, thank you all for coming.
I'm Brooke Kroger, and what I'd like to do is take you through several things. Process, how this project came to be. Its genesis was a lot earlier than you might think. And just to tell you how it happened, but also to ask you to think of it in a contentless way. It's the sort of thing that you could do with any subject matter. We just happened to do it with this, seizing on a moment. And so as you hear me take you through this, think about how you could apply it to the research that you do with just a few helpers along the way. So it really started a year or so before Oklahoma City 2015, when I presented a research in progress about the men in the suffrage movement. And what follows was a little bit self-serving, I have to acknowledge. I was became very, very interested in the forthcoming centennial, knowing that it was either 2 years out for New York or 4 to 5 years out for the national celebration, and started to think about ways that you could, through media and the things that we're interested in, make this a larger subject. I knew that the 2017 JJCHC was coming up because I'd been asked by this body to be one of the organizers along with the wonderful Nick Hershon. And I know the space very well because it's our space at NYU. And I knew that in addition to having papers and panels, the usual format, we had these wonderful little dens. Our graduate program is divided into 10 very separate programs of 20 students, 15 students, it would be 30 because the programs are 2 years long, that have their own little space. We like to think of it as, you know, the 10 Maseratis in the marble-floored garage. And they all have a space of their own within the 2 floors that we occupy at 20 Cooper Square. Well, I took the idea to Ford Risley. And I really didn't understand this till yesterday when I made this slide. But I said, Ford, could the journal do something about suffrage? And he did not hesitate a nanosecond and said, absolutely, we can do that. He said, this is what it's going to take. And he laid out exactly the path to get there, saying it was going to take 2 years. You know, wire service reporter that I am, I'm just going, oh, okay, 2 years. But he was exactly on the money. What I did not realize in his response, besides the fact that he had the authority to do it and the money, because that apparently exists within our Taylor and Francis franchise, that Ford had been the guest editor in 2009 for the Abraham Lincoln special issue. So he knew a great deal about how this could be done and would be done and seemed to embrace it quite immediately. So he and I started to throw around names to who we could put together for a committee and a publishing date of spring 2019, which was our goal. To do that, we have to be ready by January, and it looks like we're on track. These are the dens. As you can see, this is the Glojo Den, my program, Global and Joint Program Studies, which is half in journalism and half in 9 different area studies programs, Latin American studies, Africana studies, etc. And we are the only one with an espresso machine and a refrigerator. And that's where we met. It was one of these 10 to the dens, and I noticed that Pamela and crew this year are reinstituting this. They didn't do it last year. But I urge you, put together a group of colleagues and start to think about the kinds of projects you could develop. And you can be in the Glojo Den. I could arrange that. So this is our group. All of these people were present, with the exception of Ford. And we met and put together the idea and the plan and the chronology of how we were going to do this. The other thing that seemed important to us, beyond just creating the journal, was a way to make the journal a public force, how to emphasize the public intellectual dimension of the work we do, which is, of course, behind paywalls most of the time. And so we thought we'd create some sort of a database or something that would give us a way to promote the journal. From that, we, of course, publicized the call for papers. Willie Tubbs was great. He put it out on every possible listserv. NYU put out a press release. Clio did a piece. I mean, we really worked it as much as we could at that early stage. The New York Centennial was 2017. So, of course, the New York Humanities Council had about something like $3 million in funding for state-related operations. And because we were located at NYU and NYU could sponsor it, we did a proposal and we got a $5,000 grant. With that, we also got other important support, both from NYU, which has helped us a lot with money. NYU Journalism hosts the site and, you know, just keeps it maintained in that sense. And, of course, American Journalism Temple and Maryland have been great cheerleaders. So this is the site. I'm sure you've all been on it. I don't know if you've spent any time on it, but it's loaded mostly at this point by Alex Beam, one of my former students. I love the irony of having Alex be the one to do this. So he does Q&As with new authors of new books. We put it together in a way where every entry tells you where you can get free resources if it's possible, where you go if you can't, and a little context about what's being offered in all the places there's ancillary material. The other thing that's, I think, fantastic about it is that it has one of the best filtering browsing systems you've ever seen, because there are a zillion categories: postcards, pro-suffrage, anti-suffrage. You know, you just plug in what you need, and when you hit that submit button to apply the filters, what you want really comes up, as opposed to the usual mess we see. So it's a really well-designed site. Thank you, Garrett Gardner. And just to show you the data usage, this is since we launched, which was 3 months after that meeting on June 10th, 2017, till the end of September. This is just a picture of our usage. It's about 62 active users a day, which is kind of stunning when you think that only states are really on the suffrage bandwagon at this point, and as many as 1,500 per month, at least in this period, that would be an average. So that's pretty much, right? Okay, so then we put out the call to papers. As I said, about 25 to 27 proposals came in. We only could include 5 for space, so that was a painful process of elimination. We met again, our group, at the 2017 Chicago AEJMC. We went through, these were full-dress, 5-page proposals, not just abstracts. So a lot of work had gone into them. And chose the 5 that we thought would work well for us, and those are our authors. And, of course, that's a fake version of our spring 2019 and what we hope it's going to look like. And so what you're seeing now was the original conception of the database that, of course, has become this 2,000-item juggernaut. So all of that happened. And then in the midst of all this creation came an idea from Linda Steiner and Carolyn Kitsch to think about, should there be a book about suffrage in the media? And so quite apart from this project, another project developed, and University of Illinois Press is going to publish it. So that's our story.
Thanks for tuning in, and additional thanks to our sponsor, Texas Christian University. Until next time, I'm your host, Terry Fenneman, signing off with the words of Edward R. Murrow. Good night, and good luck.